thanks to the brightest audience in the country. I am Bob Enyart, America's most popular self-proclaimed right-wing religious fanatic, homophobic anti-choice talk show host. Our phone number, 1-800-8-ENYART. That's 1-800-836-9278. There's been a double murder charge filed in the case of the murder of Lacey Peterson and her unborn baby, Connor. We'll be talking about that and the NOW and their objection to the double murder charge and what does that mean. While so many people who say they're pro-choice agree with the double murder charge, what do we make of it all? Who does it help? Who does it hurt in the battle against abortion? And then we'll talk also about Scott Peterson's parents and their arguments in defense of their son. And then Lacey's mother saying that she made a promise to her daughter when she went missing that we will seek justice for her and Connor. Right, so that will be interesting. And in the issue of stem cell and fighting disease, it turns out, according to research just in, that baby teeth, you know when kids lose their baby teeth, they fall out naturally. Some parents leave them for the tooth fairy, whatever that means. That baby teeth are an extraordinary source of stem cells. And that baby teeth provide a huge number of cells. So we'll give you that story. And, you know, stem cells, unlike, let's say, what kind of cells might you have in your body? Fat cells, skin cells, right? Nerve cells. Well, those cells, they have a purpose and a function. Stem cells are generic, and they could become nerve cells or liver cells, or skin cells, hairs. They could become hair follicles, right? Yeah, brain cells. So this fascinating discovery, in fact, if this holds up, which apparently it will, then what parents could do when their kids' teeth fall out is have the teeth frozen for possible use for their own children in the future. So anyway, this is just out. And so we want to talk about that. And in Iraq, we now have the Queen of Spades. The Queen of Spades is out of the game, out of the deck, face down in the pile. Susan Sarandon's movie bombed last night in the ratings, thankfully, anti-war activist. There's a talking doll on the market. The Iraqi information minister talking doll. What else do we have here? Oh, a leading anti-war member of parliament in Britain. Turns out he's been taking bribe money from Saddam, a fortune every year taken from Iraq's oil for food program. Let's see. Iraqi scientist claims to know of Iraqi links to Al-Qaeda. Wouldn't that just infuriate the liberals if we found proof that Iraq has been working with Al-Qaeda? Wouldn't that just infuriate the liberals and the anti-war activists? They would just hate it. And then what else do we have? So this is what we're going to be talking about tonight. You could call in 1-800-836-9278. That's 1-800-8-ENYART, 1-800-836-9278. Oh, yeah, dozens of whales beached themselves in the Florida Keys. And, you know, liberals who support human beings committing suicide for some reason are always against it when animals try. Now, why is that? Could you figure that one out? Our phone number, 1-800-8-ENYART. So Lacey's murderer, whoever he is, not that we could ever possibly know, right, according to many people these days who try to understand what can you know, what can you not know. Lacey's murderer, whoever he is, has shaved his mustache and his goatee. Well, Scott Peterson has been charged with a double homicide. And, you know, his parents, Scott Peterson's parents, have given a statement. They've both spoken openly about their son and claiming his innocence. And I'd just like to look real quickly at what they're saying. And I'd like to know what you think about it. I wish, you know, I get to be the pastor of Denver Bible Church, and that's really a rewarding occupation. I almost feel like on our church letterhead, sending a letter to these parents. But they've said, well, Scott and Lacey had just the greatest relationship. And so I'm going to give you each of the things they've said, and then the reality check is he was in the middle of an affair. They said they had a great relationship. He's having an affair. He lied, saying he told her about it. What, he told his wife about it before he told the other woman that he was going to break it off? Because he never told Amber that. And so the parents said they had a great relationship. There's no motive. Well, sexual immorality by a married person, extramarital sex, is a leading motive for murder. And then they said how foolish it would be for Scott to tell the police where he went fishing if he actually dumped the bodies there. But murderers often are foolish. They often do the stupidest things. Murderers are not good problem solvers. That's why they've committed murder. And the parents said, well, the police have been ignoring witnesses. Contradictory witnesses are common. It's common for witnesses to contradict them between a group of witnesses. That's normal. Like the older neighbor who said he knew he saw Lacey walking her dog that morning. And when he was pressed about how could he possibly remember exactly what time it was because, you know, he was asked a day or days later, and he said, I remember because I was watching a football game, so I know what time it was. And then they checked the TV listings, and there were no football games that morning. So, you know, witnesses often have contradictory statements telling you that one group of witnesses or another, one or another, are wrong. And what Scott Peterson's parents could consider, they're trying to be so logical, is that parents are typically the last ones, if ever, to admit a son's murder. 800-8-NYARD. Listener-supported radio right here on Bob and Yart Live. This is where you tune in to talk about the news and what Bible principles, what principles out of the Bible will help us understand the news and understand which side of controversial issues that we should take. And in order to become proficient at, well, not only debate, but just presenting the truth to other people, you need to be an expert at the truth yourself. And the best way to do that is to know the Bible, the Word of God. And the Bible is a collection of 66 books. And a lot of people start studying the Bible. They dig in and they start studying some details. Like maybe the first thing somebody studies is speaking in tongues or baptism or the end times, the rapture, who knows what. But that's not the best way to go about it. The thing to do first is to get an overview of the whole book, the Bible. And that's why we offer the Plot Manuscript, an overview of the whole Bible. It's $49.95 plus shipping and handling, money-back guarantee if you're not satisfied, 30-day money-back guarantee. You can call us at 1-800-836-9278. If you'd rather, you can get the plot on audio tape. We have audio tape albums, not only of the plot, the overview of the whole Bible, but of the books of the Bible, Genesis, Exodus. How about the Gospel of John, Romans, and Revelation? Oh, that's so much fun. So give us a call or check us out on the web at kgov.com or 1-800-836-9278. Of these audio albums we have, you know, you can check out an album, an individual album, like The Plot, or The Tree, or The Law of Moses. How about The Last Days? You know, people are fascinated with the end times. The Antichrist, the Tribulation, the Millennial Kingdom. Sort of sounds like Star Wars. The Millennial Falcon. No, the Millennial Kingdom. Well, the book of Revelation really tells us a lot, but the best way to understand the book of Revelation is to see it as the climax of the entire Bible. And the best way to understand the end of the story is to know the whole story. So that's why we like to start out with an overview of the Bible. You check out the plot, then you get the Revelation albums. NYART 1-800-836-9278. I am looking forward to this weekend. I'll be at the South Bend Marriott on Saturday from 9 to 4. And boy, are we going to have a good time. Some of my friends are coming along. Actually, I'll be speaking at a conference sponsored by Information Radio Network with Dr. Larry Bates, who will be speaking on economics, Chuck Bates on terrorism, Jesse Lee Peterson on rebuilding the family, and Larry Pratt, the president of Gun Owners of America, speaking about, well, of course, firearm issues and the right to own a gun, which, by the way, is not a Second Amendment right. It's a right from God. It was a right people had long before the Second Amendment was ever written. And it'll remain long after the Second Amendment is gone. So it's not a Second Amendment right. It's a God-given right. All right. To call it a Second Amendment right, that sort of implies that it comes from, that right comes from the Constitution or it comes from the government. And of course it doesn't. And when we use words flippantly, we might know what we mean by it, but when we don't speak accurately, then we could undermine our own case. So at any rate, my topic on this Saturday, April 26th, at the South Bend Marriott, is Christianity and Public Policy. And it should be a lot of fun. If you're interested in coming along, registration is $15, $25 for a couple, and you can go to kgov.com to register or call 800-336-7000. That's 800-336-7000. So the parents, Scott Peterson's mom and dad, hey, of course, it's just terrible to have to think through one of your children, your son, becoming a murderer. But they're talking through as though, you know, they've really thought through these issues and they have a handle on why everyone else is wrong. And so one by one, they explain. They said, you know, Scott would have absolutely no motive. They had a great relationship. And he admitted he's having an affair. He didn't break off the affair. He told Amber Fry that he had work to do over the holidays. He wouldn't be available. He didn't break it off. So they say he had no motive. Having an affair, extramarital sex, is a leading motive for murder. That's a common motive. And then they said, how could any murderer be so foolish as to lead the police to the location of the bodies? Murderers commonly do foolish things. That's how they get convicted, because they're bad problem solvers. That's why they become murderers in the first place. So, you know, it's typical. A murder is committed and someone is convicted because they made some obvious mistakes. And they said the police are ignoring the witnesses who say they saw Lacey that morning. Well, that's another common thing. It's common to have contradictory witnesses. Look at the Columbine case where a sheriff's deputy in Arapahoe County told one of the parents of a slain child that he saw their son get shot. And that was not true. He did not. But the parents took that at face value for years. They believed it until, thankfully, when the Colorado Springs Police Department got involved and did an exhaustive analysis of the evidence and laid out a credible, a very plausible timeline, it became obvious that that officer was lying. He didn't see this student get killed, get shot. He didn't see it, but he said it. And so there was contradictory witnesses. And you have to decide when there are contradictory witnesses, who are you going to believe? And if there's physical evidence that leads the police to believe that Lacey was killed in the home and she didn't go out walking that morning, then the witnesses that say, oh, we saw her walking the dog that morning, you dismiss them. That's what you do. Otherwise, whenever, in so many crimes, there are contradictory witnesses. So then you just give up? No, of course not. You weigh the witnesses. You weigh the evidence. And the Petersons should realize that parents are typically the last ones, if ever, to admit a son's murder. They're the last ones to see it. Everyone else might see it, and the parents are holding out in denial. That's normal. And they defend Scott's behavior as it's all being misinterpreted. Oh, that he told Lacey that he had been having an affair? What, he told Lacey? What does that imply? Repentance? He didn't break off the affair. He just postponed it for a couple of weeks while whatever he had to do. Maybe he had to be at home because with his wife because it was the holidays, or maybe he was planning to kill her over the holidays. So his behavior is understandable. He tells his Lacey without breaking it off with the adulteress. That's understandable. And Lacey wouldn't have told anyone. Her friends and family wouldn't have been able to discern a change in her behavior when she's 8 months pregnant and her wife says, oh, by the way, I've been having an affair. And she'll keep it to herself and not show that she's distraught. Then he goes golfing on the day when his wife and daughters or his wife and son's bodies are to be identified. He goes golfing that day? That's just bizarre. And then apparently there are cement forms that he made cement blocks with blocks that are missing with no good explanation, cement pails in his shed, and he said they did not belong to him. They were the pool workers, and the pool workers said, they're not our pails. We don't have cement pails. They're not our pails. He's got in his car $10,000 in cash, his goatee and his mustache. What, he changed his hair color? He's got his brother's ID. Did he steal it or borrow it? I borrow my brother's ID on a regular basis. So MSNBC today showed a deck of cards with Scott Peterson's face on the ace of spades. That's the second use of that kind of symbolism that I've seen since the Pentagon put Saddam on the ace of spades. What was the first use? Do you remember? Oh, yeah, we did it. That's right. With Yasser Arafat. Our phone number, 1-800-8-NYART, 1-800-836-9278. In South Bend, Indiana, during the summer months, Bob and Yart Live is 1 hour tape delay in South Bend. You know that the country goes on daylight savings time during the winter, and then we go back during the summer half of the year. And Indiana, like Arizona, they don't change with the rest of the country. They keep the time correct, and everybody else goes off an hour for half a year. And so as a result of that, we have ended up at half of the year, this half of the year, tape delay. So if you listen to the show in out of WHME in South Bend, Indiana, in Southern Michigan, hey, thanks, guys, for tuning in. If you'd like to call in, you'll have to realize you have to call not while you're listening to the show, but at 9 p.m. Eastern Time. 9 p.m. Eastern Time. So what is that in South Bend right now? 8 p.m.? Is that right? All right, let's see. What else we have here? Oh, yeah, the National Organization of Witches, or Women, sorry, the NOW, National Organization of Women, are objecting, at least some of them, they're objecting that there's been a double count of murder, right? The cops have charged Scott Peterson with two counts of capital murder, no bail. In California, a full-grown fetus can be considered a person for the purpose of this kind of murder charge. And the baby was 8 months along. And so it's two counts of murder. And the NOW is upset. And what I've heard on the media, in the media, although, of course, it's only anecdotal, but I've heard pro-aborts, pro-choice people calling into talk shows saying, well, I'm pro-choice, but I disagree with the NOW. Of course, this should be a second charge, two counts of murder. And when you think about that, you know, at least, have you heard the saying that just as the mouth can taste good food, the heart knows truth? Right, truth sometimes is obvious, but it takes work to undermine it in your own thinking. So that's why the public school system wants people to go full-time for full-time education for, you know, 15, 16, 17 years. Because it takes that long to make someone as ignorant as they want to make you. So, yeah, you kill a baby in the womb, it's murder. That should be obvious. So pro-choice people are thinking, well, yeah, I'm pro-choice, but it's murder. And you ask, well, why is it murder? And one woman today said, well, because Lacey planned to keep the baby. Yeah, but murder is only when you kill a living human being. If somebody plans to keep all of their fingers and you cut one of their fingers off, it's not murder. Just because they plan to keep something doesn't make taking it away murder. So how is it a homicide? How is it murder unless it's an innocent human being who's being killed? And if you're pro-choice, you are a murderer. And I'm looking forward to Judgment Day when you stand before God and experience his wrath because you advocated, you defended the killing of innocent children. You murderer. I'm looking forward to that day of wrath, vengeance, and justice. All right, when we come back, we'll go to the phones. We'll start out in Oklahoma, 800-8-N-YARD. N-YARD, that's the phone number for calling in to order materials or to get on the show, 9 p.m. Eastern Time, weeknights, 1-800-836-9278. And we were talking about the audio albums earlier. If you become a Christian or you've been a Christian for 20 years and the Bible is a little bit of a mystery, you've studied some things like maybe you've studied eternal security. Can you lose your salvation or not? Or the perseverance of the saints. Perhaps you've studied that. Or maybe you've studied the Sabbath. Or, you know, pick your favorite topic, baptism. Maybe baptism in the Spirit, speaking in tongues. Okay, and so you become an expert on some issue, or three or four issues. Or not an expert, but you can quote one or two verses. But can you explain an overview of the whole Bible? Do you have it? Are you comfortable? Do you have a strong foundation on how the whole story of the Bible fits together? Or could five or six basic questions send you running for cover and showing confusion? That's if that describes you, then whether you get it from us or not, that's secondary. The most important thing is that you get to understand an overview of the whole Bible. That's what you need to do. And we have some tools to help you do that. But if you don't do it here, do it somewhere. An overview of the whole Bible, well, the plot. What is the plot? The plot is the storyline of a book or a movie or a play. What is the plot of the Bible? And so we have a manuscript, 330 pages, called The Plot. It's an overview of the whole Bible. And the overview is the key to the details. The overview is the key to the details. So that's so important to know. The overview is the key to the details. So you can call us up or go online at kgov.com. You can check out the online store. It's real easy to use, fun, informational. Check out the plot manuscript if you prefer to read, or the plot audio tape album, which is the first album in a series of albums on the overview of the Bible and the books of the Bible, the details. Well, it's thundering in Denver, a wet Monday. Beware the dingus day. Let's go to Oklahoma, 1-800-8-NYART. That's 1-800-836-9278. In Ada, Oklahoma, Gary, speak your mind.
Well, I wasn't going to call in tonight, but I had to.
Go ahead. What's up?
I've been listening to Glenn Beck lately.
Glenn Beck.
Radio talk show host, I think, out of Florida.
Right.
He's pretty conservative,
yeah.
Kind of conservative. But he was asking the question today whether or not Scott Peterson should be charged with homicide or double homicide. And he'd have callers call in, and he'd ask them yes or no. And you know, there were some Christian pro-choice callers who, you know, there's different yes and no's, people. And anyway, I started thinking about it. And I think whenever we start bickering whether or not he should be charged with double homicide and homicide, we lose focus on what's important.
Yeah.
And what's important is teaching people about what's right and wrong.
Right.
That the death penalty is a deterrent.
Right. But now the Christians who said they were pro-choice, that's like a black person being a member of the KKK. Right? It's like a Jew in the Nazi party.
Exactly.
It's despicable.
Exactly.
And so now let me ask you about this, the Glenn Beck program?
Yes.
So I've never heard of his show. I just looked him up on the internet. I see his website.
GlennBeck.com or something like
yeah.
that.
Yeah. What did he say to those Christians who said they were, you know, pro-choice?
Well, when they answered yes or no, he'd say why. And, of course, they gave their response to why they thought it should be double homicide or homicide or whatever. And I can't remember everybody's response.
No.
But
yeah.
There was one lady who made it known that she was Christian, you know, and she just, she sticks out in my mind,
but
her
anyway,
response was just,
but my question is, how did he respond to people who said they were pro-choice? I'd like to size up real quickly.
I don't remember.
Well, generally, does he condemn people
yeah.
for supporting abortion? Well, good.
Yes.
Good. Very good, then.
Yes, he does.
All right. Okay, thank you so much, Gary.
Okay, bye.
Appreciate the call. 1-800-8-NYART. That's 1-800-836-9278. So the NOW, when they say that there should not be a double homicide charge, two counts of murder, you know, they know, they calculate their strategies. And they're weighing that public perception will go against them because there's so many people, including pro-abort men and women, have identified with Lacey and with Connor, the baby. I mean, tens of millions of people know the name of this baby, Connor. And especially women, women tend to bond with people more quickly than men do, especially babies, especially unborn babies. And there are tens of millions of women who've felt for this baby. When they heard that Lacey was murdered for sure, how many women wondered how long did the baby live before he died in her womb? Millions of women would have naturally thought of that. And so there's a level of bonding that goes on. And even some, you know, typical pro-choice women, typical pro-choice women will have feelings for Lacey and Connor, and emotionally they'll want a murder charge against, even on behalf of Connor, the unborn baby. Now, what does that mean about them being pro-choice? Well, that's an instance where they haven't thought through their position, and truth has accidentally entered the scene. Now, the NOW, the National Organization of Women, their primary reason for existing is to fight for the right to kill their children. And the NOW realizes that if we let people think that killing this unborn baby is murder, then why wouldn't it be murder if the mother did it or if the abortionist did it? It's still murder. They know that. They're being more consistent than the average pro-abort who agrees with the charge. And so they're in a dilemma. They know that there will be a backlash against them if they say publicly there should be no charge of murder for the fetus. They know that. But they have this problem of they think that it's, to them, it's the slippery slope. If we admit the humanity of this eight-month-old baby and that he could be murdered, then Warren Hearn, the Boulder abortionist in Colorado, is a murderer too. And George Tiller in Wichita, Kansas, the late-term abortionist, is a murderer too. And we advocate murder because we defend the right of women to kill their babies throughout all 9 months. And so we're all murderers if Connor was murdered. And therefore, we are against Connor's life being valued to the extent that killing him would be the crime of murder. We're against that. We're feminists. We're feminists. We're for women and children. We're for women having the right to kill their children. That's what a feminist is. A feminist is for women and children, for women having the right to kill their children. That's what a feminist is. A feminist is for women and children, for women having the right to kill their children. So as a Christian, should you condemn a pro-abort? Should you condemn a pro-abort? Or should you not condemn? Because we shouldn't condemn. Should you judge a pro-abort because, well, he's a pro-abort? Or should you not judge? So, of course, we Christians need to judge the wicked and condemn them. You know, if they don't find out they're condemned in this life, then it will be too late when they do find out. It will be way too late. It will be forever too late. And the liberal Christians who've been deceived by Hillary Clinton's favorite verse that they're not supposed to judge, they'll be the ones who send their neighbors to hell and their family members to hell because their family members are judged. But they won't find out from their Christian loved ones because the Christian loved ones are too selfish to tell them that they are condemned. Jesus said they are condemned. If they don't believe, Jesus said, they are condemned. That's my favorite verse in the Bible, John 3:18. Isn't that Al Gore's favorite verse? All right, our phone number, 1-800-8-NYARDS, 1-800-836-9278. So remember, those of you listening in South Bend, Indiana, or in Michigan via WHME, or in Elkhart, or Shipshewana, or wherever you're listening there in northern Indiana, remember that we are now tape delay Monday through Friday until the fall. Just not nationwide, just in Indiana. So you need to call us at 9 p.m. Eastern Time. All right, our phone number, 1-800-8-NYART. That's 1-800-836-9278. Okay, let's see. Now. Okay. Next story is, you know, the beached whales in the Florida Keys. Now, let's see. Let me look out in the studio audience. Has anyone here ever gone to the Florida Keys? All right, we have one person. Are you familiar with the Content Keys? Content Keys. That's on the Gulf side, one of the keys. And, I've been down there with my friends all the way down to Key West, which is a haven for homosexuals. Key West is a disaster. But anyway, two groups of pilot whales have been beaching themselves in the shallow water in the Keys, according to the Florida Fish and Wildlife Conservation Commission. That's a mouthful. The FFWFF. 32 whales have been in the shallow waters, and a number have died. And so officers from the Florida Keys National Marine Sanctuary and U.S. Coast Guardsmen, biologists, and researchers at the scene are trying to help the whales. But I thought that liberals argue that you have a right to commit suicide. Of course, we should be against suicide. But when it comes to animals, they're against it. When it comes to human, they're for it. Why is that? What's their point? What is your point if you're a liberal? Or maybe to be a liberal, maybe you don't really need a point. So we've got the Plot audio album and the Law of Moses, and then the Tree of the Knowledge of Good and Evil. That's the order we send them in. The Plot. You know, we should rearrange that, actually, and do the Plot and then the Tree and then the Law of Moses. But it's too late. We've been doing it this way for years. So, and then you get the Last Days. That's fun. And then an album. This is if you call up and you order the monthly Bible study album once a month, automatically we'll mail you these albums. We probably have 300 albums in inventory right now. It's really cool. We've never had such a well-stocked inventory. So if you call up and order, we could probably get the order out within 24 hours. Maybe 48. Well, sometimes we're slow. But it's in inventory. We're ready for your call. We're ready for you to go to kgov.com and do online shopping and see which of these Bible study albums are you most interested in. And so Details Galore, that album comes after The Last Days. And that's about miracles and healing in the Bible. You'll be blown away. I promise you, you'll be blown away. I'm blown away. when I study that material. In that album, we look at every single miracle in the Bible, every one. I don't think you can get a Bible study that deals with every miracle in the Bible. I don't think you can find one other than this one right here. Because I've studied this stuff for over how many years? 30 years? 30 years. I've never seen one. There's one book that lists all the miracles in the Bible, and I picked it up when I was working on the study, but it didn't list all the miracles, so we had to do our own research. It listed a lot of them, though. I have to admit that. Okay, what else? Hey, then we have the books of Genesis and Exodus in the Old Testament. Genesis, the creation, the fall, the flood, Abraham and Isaac. Ah, is it interesting? Abraham offers up Isaac on Mount Moriah. What's with that? Why? God said no to human sacrifice, no to child sacrifice, and God commands Abraham to kill his son Isaac on Mount Moriah. What's with that? Why is that story in the Bible? What do all the details of that story indicate? So give us a call. Check out these albums. NYART 1-800-836-9278. So this research is just out. This is very significant about baby teeth. And it turns out that baby teeth have stem cells in them. And not just a few, apparently a huge number of stem cells in baby teeth that can be used potentially to fight disease. It's just extraordinary. It's an absolutely extraordinary find, and it's been written up in the Proceedings of the National Academy of Sciences by basically a pediatric dentist who said, you know, I never really thought much about these baby teeth that were falling out of people's heads, children's heads, until this dentist said, until 2 years ago. And his six-year-old daughter lost her first baby teeth. And he said, well, I'm a pediatric dentist. So I looked into it. And he said, then I thought about the pulp tissue left inside the tooth. And I was a dentist for years, but I never even thought about baby teeth until I looked at my daughter's teeth carefully. And now what they found out is that the stem cells in baby teeth can be used to, they can be used as standard stem cells. And, you know, that's very significant. George W. Bush, it's sad that, you know, he could not be firm on the stem cell research of babies who are killed in order to do experiments on their body parts. He didn't have enough moral fortitude to be firm on that, so he equivocated and he compromised. And he said, well, we could do some. And it wasn't even, in the debate, wasn't even, should the federal government arrest those who kill babies for the purpose of experimenting on their bodies? That wasn't the debate. Should we arrest them? Should we execute them? The debate was, should the federal government fund research on baby body parts, babies that are killed and that are murdered and their body parts sold and scientists like Dr. Mengele do experiments on their body parts? And George Bush, unfortunately, could not even be firm on that. And he said, well, we won't fund that. We won't provide unlimited funding for that, but we'll provide funding for some of that research on some of those babies who were killed on some of their body parts. And that appeased National Right to Life. It was another victory for them. National Right to Life, they find victory and defeat on a regular basis. All right, 1-800-8-NER, 1-800-836-9278. So we now have in Iraq, we have the Queen of Spades, number 18 out of the 55 most wanted in Iraq, Muhammad somebody or other. One of the guys who killed a lot of the Shiites who tried to overthrow Saddam in 1991 after we encouraged them to do that and then we abandoned them. And what else? Yes, Susan Sarandon had a movie last night, broadcast network TV, and it bombed in the ratings. That's really good. Dixie Chicks type result. That was good. Anti-war activist Susan Sarandon. Oh, and the talking doll you can now purchase, the Iraqi information minister talking doll, you pull its string and it says, I am not shoddily built. I am not shoddily built. I am not a choking hazard. I am not overpriced. And then a leading anti-war British member of parliament has been taking bribe money from Saddam, over £300,000 per year. And that money's come out of the Iraq's oil for food program. Okay, now let's see here. Line one, I don't think, is working here. Suzanne?
Yes.
Go ahead, Suzanne. This is Bob Enyart.
Hi, I'm on a cell phone, so I don't know if I'll be able to stay on, but I just wanted to say a couple things. You know, I share your passion for a lot of things. I see your passion, you know, you're wishing that wrongdoing wouldn't be so prevalent.
Yes.
And so accepted, and I understand and agree with that. What I wanted to say is that, you know, some of feminism, some of it's good. I mean, it's not all out to kill babies.
All right. Well, the feminist movement, right? Now, if by feminism you might mean something other than the feminist movement, the primary goal of the feminist movement is to legalize abortion. That's the primary goal. They have other goals. But the NOW exists to fight for the right to have an abortion. And then they have other goals that they seek, but most of those goals are destructive also, Suzanne.
I certainly agree with that. It's to me, it's gotten very off course. But in the beginning, I'm sure you wouldn't have want your daughter beat with a stick the size of a thumb, or not want her to own property or vote or things like that. And I think it came out of that. I think it came out of some good concerns for women, and it's gotten off track.
All right. Well, actually, okay, now we need to talk about some of those things. Actually, I would much rather women not vote, Suzanne.
Okay.
Do you think things have gotten better since women have been voting?
Well, I don't know. I don't know enough about history to say. But you know, another thing that you were talking about, George Bush not having moral fortitude.
In the case,
really saddens me and depresses me is that I think Christians are becoming to be associated with a particular party. And neither one of them, I think, represent our views all that well. And so it should be in the world. That's the way it is.
Suzanne, I agree with you on that 100%. Now, on that, you and I agree. Right. Christians support the Republican Party, and the Republican Party advocates homosexuality and appoints pro-abortion judges and officials to the highest offices and gives countless millions of dollars to pro-abortion organizations. So I agree with you there completely.
What breaks my heart about it is that people who might come to Christ are probably being turned away because they think that political parties and Jesus are the same thing somehow.
In other words, whatever the Republican Party is rightly criticized for, people will think that that's a Christian position.
Yes.
Yeah, I agree. Hey, let me tell you why I said what sounded like, you know, so unfair when I said I actually don't support the right of women to vote. On this show for 12 years, we have called into question the whole notion of democracy, and that certainly democracy is the absolute opposite of the principles of governance that God reveals in the Bible. And when the majority rules, Jesus said very clearly that the majority are evil. It's the majority that shouted, "Crucify him." And when the majority rules, since the majority are evil, the Christians will suffer, the innocent will suffer, the minorities will suffer the most when the majority rules. And so majority rules is not by any stretch a biblical concept. And so we're against men voting. We, meaning those of us here at Bob and Yurt Live, we're against men voting and women voting. And I actually do think that since women have voted, things have gotten worse. But that's just whenever you add any group, when the committee gets bigger and bigger, the bigger the committee, the worse the outcome.
Well, I'll have to think about that.
All right. Well, thank you for your call, Suzanne.
And thank you.
God bless you. I really appreciate a very thoughtful call. And, yeah, so feminism, you know, I despise feminism. And feminism primarily is for women and children, for the rights of women to kill their children. That's what feminism is primarily. Feminism is for women and children, for the rights of women to kill their children. And then feminism has done other things also, but virtually everything feminism has accomplished has been destructive. Like, for example, you know, feminists fight so that there's an equal standard between men and women regarding sexual immorality. Feminists say, hey, men could sleep around and nobody cares, so then women could sleep around too and we won't care. Right? Feminists have fought to degrade women, and they've done that successfully, to make women feel comfortable acting as vile as the worst of men. They fought to feminize drug abuse and alcoholism. They feminized the jails. They feminized rush hour traffic. They feminized depression. They feminized all kinds of things. They feminized daycare, so little girls are dumped off in an institution to be raised by a mom who's out seeking a career as a secretary or a dispatcher for a taxi company, while people being paid $8 an hour are raising their baby and hearing mommy for the first time. The baby doesn't even know who mommy is. That's all the results of feminism. And tens of millions of women who are forced to go to work who'd rather stay home. Now, if a woman wants to go to work, go to work. Fine. That's fine. Go to work. Knock yourself out. But tens of millions of women who'd rather stay home to be with their children, to raise their children, to keep their household, they'd rather stay home, but they're forced to go to work because of the economic destruction of feminism on our legal system. Feminism has driven millions of women into the workplace, women who would rather be home, but now their families can't hardly afford to survive because feminists have mandated, through the laws that have been changed, a two-income economy. And now it's a real struggle to survive on a one-income basis. It's difficult. You can do it, and it's well worth the sacrifice. And quite often that second paycheck doesn't buy you all that much because you have to pay for daycare and for transportation and clothing and dry cleaning and eating out more. So a woman hands off to some stranger the job of nurturing her children, even her youngest babies,